Let's first just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just lift up our hearts towards your throne of grace this evening, acknowledging you as God and God Almighty. You're God by yourself, God. You don't need us to add anything to you or subtract anything from you to make you God. We thank you, God, that you are our God. Not only are you our God, our creator and sustainer, but you also our Heavenly Father, our loving Heavenly Father. We acknowledge you as such. And Heavenly Father, as we endeavor to look into your word this evening, we ask that you speak to our hearts. We ask, God, that you would please let us know what your will is for our lives. We ask, God, that you will give us a deeper understanding of who it is you are, what it is you have done on our behalf, and how you've done that. Only by your grace and your mercy and your love. We ask these things, God, and we give you thanks for a new day that was not promised to us. We give this day back to you, even this hour, just by lifting up our hearts to you. We pray for understanding. We pray for clarity. Just speak to our hearts, God. We pray for everyone on the line and those who will be. Have your way. Bless our hearts this hour, God. And even after we have shut down the apps and going on with the rest of our day, we pray that you will continue by your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Have your way. For it is in Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're in chapter 3 of the book of Ruth. And we ask that you can join us there. Ruth chapter 3. Since the beginning of our study in this book, we have made it clear what God's purpose is with regard to the narrative of the book of Ruth. It's just God's ultimate purpose is the preservation of his people in order that David will be born and David's offspring, which is Christ, will come forth. And that doesn't start in the book of Ruth, but it continues in the book of Ruth. And it doesn't end in the book of Ruth. But it's where he has us now, just to look at a few things concerning that fact, God's plan for his people. He planned to be gracious. He planned to be merciful. He planned to be their redeemer by sending one who will be our redeemer in the flesh. And that's Jesus Christ. So that's God's ultimate plan with regard to the narrative of the book of Ruth. And that's something we want to piggyback on tonight. Just planning according to God's plan. Planning according to his plan. That's what I see in this third chapter. Doesn't mean that this third chapter is exclusive to that. But just something the Lord just dealt with my heart, me personally, and what he showed me in this chapter. That's what we want to deal with, planning according to God's plan. And so we'll get right into the chapter. I'm going to read verses 1-5. And there in verses 1-5, we see Naomi, planning accordingly. And by accordingly, I mean she's planning. She makes plans that are in accord with God's plan. Amen. So let's just read verses 1-5. It says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" A noun is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou was. Behold, he renoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lie down, and lie thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. I'm telling you, this is one of the most difficult passage that I have had to have the privilege to even speak on. Not because it's so difficult to understand what's going on, or, you know, the question for me becomes like, how do you reconcile the things you see in this chapter with who God is, with his will, with what his word has already said? You know, there over the years, this third chapter, there has been great division over what some of the things that are in this chapter mean. You know, like the uncovering of the feet. What does that mean? What does it mean that she lied, you know, she lied herself down at his feet? And there have just been people who have just taken those things and just ran wild with them in their thoughts, in their imagination. And I almost fell victim to that mindset. Well, what does that mean? I mean, is there something deeper? Is there more? I mean, what's going on here? And the Lord just had to bring me back to the plan of God, the purpose of God in the narrative of this entire book is bringing forth Christ. That's God's plan. And when you get hung up on the minutiae, the little things, like what does the covering of feet mean and all of that stuff, you lose sight. You lose sight of that plan, because that plan is unfolding right before our eyes. And we talk about how God, he's sovereign and he's a providential God. But he uses the agency of man to bring about his will. He uses relationships, cultural background, cultural differences to bring about his will. And I think it's important that we keep that in mind as we go forth. And so in this these first five verses, we see Naomi's plan accordingly. She plans accordingly. And as I say by that, I mean her plans are in accord with God's plan. And the first thing that I want to point out, the first lesson here that, I mean, like I said, just some personal stuff, just personally dealing with me that the Lord pointed out. The first lesson for me, and I would extend that to everybody on the line, and you allow the Lord to deal with your heart accordingly. But the first lesson for me is that Naomi is of a rightful mind. She's of a rightful mind. The fact that she is planning accordingly, that gives us our first lesson of this chapter. And somebody said, well, what's the lesson? Well, here's the lesson. When you settle in the mindset that says, I'm a victim of my situation, then you will not be able to see God's plan, let alone plan accordingly to God's plan. The question was asked back in chapter 1 and verse 19. Remember, we dealt with this when Naomi and Ruth came into the city of Judah. The question was asked, is this Naomi? Is this Naomi? To which she responded, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty have dealt very bitterly with me. They could see a change in her countenance. We talk about that. She seemed depressed. She seemed dejected. The state, her state of mind, was that of she had reserved. She had gone within herself. She had fallen within herself. She was dejected. And that state of mind, it handles the spirit's ability to bring a person to a mindset that says, God has a purpose for me in this situation, and I'm going to hope in him. You can't get to that point when you have a victim mentality. You can't get to that point of seeing that he has a purpose for you, let alone plan according to that purpose. But when you are planning according to God's plan, it shows you are hopeful about God's plan for your future. You can say to yourself, even as the psalmist said in Psalm 42 and verse 5, he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou discontented within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of my countenance. See that state of mind that she was in. She was going to praise her way out of that state of mind. For Naomi, her turning point came in last week's chapter 2, and verse 20. And there you remember, Naomi said unto Ruth, blessed be he of the Lord who have not left off the kindness of the living and the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. It is there that her mind turned from a depression and bitterness state to a mind of hopefulness. From that point on to where we are now, she is only thinking about Ruth's place of security and the future of the family line. Because with the continuation of her line comes David, right? And with David comes his offspring, which is Jesus Christ. But the planning to that end only began when she took her mind off of herself, off of her loss. Remember, she said, I went out full and I came back empty. All right? Her loss, off her bitterness. She said, the Almighty has dealt with me bitterly. All right? She didn't get to that point of planning until she took her mind off herself, off that loss, her loss of her husband, the loss of her two sons, that loss that made her bitter. When she took her mind off of that, her mind to care about someone else's state of well-being, that became a turning point for Naomi. That became a turning point in this narrative. As far as Naomi goes, see one, and this is what I was talking about when I said the Lord dealt with me personally, because one of the reasons that we struggle with bringing people to Christ is because we can't see past ourselves. and see others struggling beneath the weight of sin and its consequences. But when you can see through the proactive lens of God's love and care, right? Because the proactive lens, and I just learned this. I got a new glasses. My eyes have been going bad. I had to get eye tests, and they say I needed glasses, and I had to learn what all that stuff means, and I got a prescription that says I need a glasses that's progressive, right? And so I learned that a progressive lens is a lens that deals with two issues in one lens, farsightedness and nearsightedness, right? So instead of having two different glasses to deal with each of those issues, you have a progressive lens, one lens that deals with both of them. And that's what I mean when I say we have to see through the progressive lens of God's love and care, put away nearsightedness, or farsightedness. When you get to that point, it's then that you will look past, right, someone's sinful state, and you will hope in God for them. And you will minister the word of God to them with a purpose of their eternal security and salvation. Naomi didn't get to that place until verse 20 of chapter 2. And for me, you know, and as I was saying, that's where the Lord brought me. That's where he dealt with me personally. Just knowing that. You can't focus on your situation. You can't focus on what has happened to you. You can't stand as a victim of your circumstance, because that will block your vision. That will cloud your vision, and you can't see God's plan. You can't see God's plan for you. You can't see God's plans for others, and you would just be stuck in a rut, right? And listen, like I said, that's one of the reasons why we struggle with bringing people to Christ is going beyond self, right? It's going beyond seeing yourself and seeing your situation, seeing your losses, seeing your hurt, seeing your depression, seeing the state of mind you're in, and going beyond that and seeing others, their needs, their wants. And when you get to that point, you can better see God's plan for that, for others and for yourself. And then that would channel in a progression, right, of actions, of plans that will fall in alignment with God's plan for you and for others. And that's what happened here with Naomi. This is what happened to her. And she could plan according to God's plan when God her hope for the future. Because before that point, it seemed like she didn't have any hope. Husband dead, son's dead, one of her daughter-in-law gone back to her people and her God, comes back home in this state of mind. I mean, it just seemed like a hopeless situation. Not only was it a hopeless situation, it was a helpless situation, because now she don't have anything. Now she has to be concerned with providing not only for herself, but this daughter now that she has. She has to care for and provide some security for her future. And so it just seemed dim and dark and hopeless, and helpless. But you see, and that's what God does. He meets us right there, right? And you take the word hopeless. And what God does is he subtracts the less and leaves us with hope. You take the word helpless, he subtracts the less and leaves us with help. And when he does that, giving us hope and showing us that he is our help, that becomes a turning point for us. And when we turn from our situation and our state of mind and turn in faith and hope to God, it's when he takes the blinders off, he opens our eyes, he shows us his plan, and then we can progressively move towards his plan, laying side by side our plan that lines up with his. And that's what you see Naomi doing here. So what is the plan? What is the plan? The plan, it's a strange plan. Naomi's goal is to find a husband for Ruth. We see that in verse 1. She says, it says that then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, that is said unto Ruth, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? That's her goal. Now, now that her state of mind has changed and God has put her in a state of mind where she's taking her mind off of herself, now her concern is for someone else, her daughter-in-law. And that's her goal, to find a husband for Ruth. But the plan she comes up with is a strange plan. And that's the hang up. That's the hang up for many people when they come to this chapter. In verse 2, she says, Boaz of our kindred is of our kindred. According to God's plan, that makes him an eligible candidate for marriage. This is God's plan according to his word. And remember, one of our scripture references a week ago or 2 weeks ago was Deuteronomy 25, verses 5 and 6, where God gives his plan, right? Where he says, if brother dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. That is, she should not get married to someone outside of her tribe, outside of her clan, outside of her kindred, right? Note that word that Naomi used when she calls Boaz our kindred, right? So continue reading. Without unto a stranger, her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife. That is, the brother of the dead husband should go and become the husband of the dead brother's wife. And the purpose for that, he says, and perform the duty of an husband, of a husband brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she bears shall succeed in the name of his brother, which is dead. And here's the reason, that his name be not put out of. That's God's plan. The whole point of that, we talk about that, the Levirate marriage. That's God's plan. And the whole point of that, as he says, so that the dead husband, in this case, that dead husband is Elimelech. In that case, the dead husband of Ruth is Milion, so that his name is not put out of the nation. That is, his lineage is not cut off at his death. And so Ruth, Naomi sees that Boaz is that one. He's the kinsman redeemer. He's the next of kin. And by doing it this way, not only with the family line continue, but the family inheritance stays within the family. Remember, we talked about that earlier. The kinsman redeemer bought back what the tribe lost. They have gone to a different family member, but it stayed within the clan, within the tribe, the inheritance stay within that kindred, that group, that family group. So Naomi's goal is in alignment with God's will and plan. That is, find a husband for Ruth. But not just any husband, but a godly one, in order to secure a godly future by keeping the family line going. And so in verses 3 and 4, Naomi tells Ruth, she tells Ruth, this is what she says in 3 and 4. She says, wash yourself, therefore, anoint thee, put your raiment upon thee. All right. In other words, she says, girl, go get clean up and smelling good and put on your best dress and get down to the floor. Amen. No, she's not saying go down there and go dance for him. Drop it like it's hot, like we used to say in the world. Go get down, dance for him, get down on the floor. No, that's not what she's saying, right? But let's continue reading. Get down to the floor. And she says, when you get there, don't let yourself be made known to Boaz until he is done eating and drinking. Then that's the point where you make yourself known. And it shall be when he lies down, that thou shalt make the place where he lies down, that mark the place where he lies down, pay attention to where he goes after he's gotten drunk and stumble his way, you know, because obviously he's not at home. He's somewhere close by the fields, somewhere by, he's in the threshing floor where the work is done. And that's where they all are eating and drinking. And obviously, he staggered off, ends up somewhere close by where he falls asleep. And Naomi tells her, when that's happened, when he lies down, mark the place where he lies down, go in, cover his feet, and lie down. He will tell you what to do. That's Naomi's plan, right? All Naomi's plan is. It's a strange plan. And I know, you know, you can't look at this through the natural eye. Because when you look at this through the natural eye, your question becomes then, why would you tell her to put herself in a situation where you know it's going to lead to something ungodly? That's the natural mind. That's what you think naturally if you look at it. But, and we're going to get into that. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Okay? And so that's all Naomi's plan is. But then when you come to verses 6 through 9, we see Ruth's plan. Accordingly, her plan accordingly is to just, let me read verses 6 through 9. And she went down onto the floor. I'm sorry, back up verse 5. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down onto the floor and did according. See, there it is. She did according to all that her mother-in-law bid her. So we see Ruth's plan accordingly, right? Because it says there, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bid her to do. And we talk about that. Back in chapter 1, when Naomi said to her two daughters, go back to your mother's house. We talk about what the implication was. We talk about what mother's house stood for. Mother's house were the place that daughter prepared for marriage. Mother's role were to prepare her daughter for that marriage. She also gave her advices, whether they were sexual or not. That was mother's role. And we talked about that, how that wasn't God's intention for these women. God's intention was, no, that Ruth will not go back to her people, but that Ruth will go to Naomi's people. No, that Ruth will not go back to her God, but that Naomi, that Ruth will go and become and come under the wing of Naomi's God. We talked about that. And that's what we see happening here. That mother, God wanted this woman, this girl, this young woman, Ruth, to be in the house of her mother-in-law, Naomi, because God wanted her to prepare her for that position of marriage. And that's what we see happening here. That's what we see happening. And so Naomi being the daughter, Ruth being the daughter that she is, she says, I'm going to do according as you, my mother, directs me to do. And verse 7, and when Boaz had eaten and got drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself. And behold, a woman lied at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kin. And he said, no, we'll stop reading there. Okay? So her plan is to just present herself as Ruth, handmaid. In other words, her plan is to just present herself by being herself. She didn't need to be someone else. Her plan is just to show up and be, because you notice, ask the question, she says, Ruth, your handmaid. That wasn't in Ruth's, Naomi's instruction. That's in addition to Naomi's instruction, and we're about to get into what that means. So that's Ruth's plan, to present herself, Ruth, your handmaid, be herself. She didn't need to be someone else, okay? The other part of her plan is to announce her intention for being there, okay? So here is Boaz's question, who art thou? When he asked that question, it wasn't just because he had woken to find someone at his feet and he was afraid, but not just that he found someone at his feet, but it was a woman that he had been drinking, right? And so he thought that here's this woman lying at my feet. He thought he had taken advantage of her. See, his righteousness kicked in. His godliness kicked in, because he knows that when you are intoxicated, you do some irrational things. There are so many people in the world who have done some things that the next morning when they woke up, they wish they never did, because they got drunk. That was his state. Did I get drunk and just took advantage of a woman? He wanted to know. He asked this question, who art thou? In other words, it wasn't just the woman, what has happened, but what character, what kind of character was this woman? Because I just woke up and I don't remember Jack. I don't remember what happened. Was she the kind of woman to give herself to him because he was drunk and got a little, you know, frisky? Or was she the kind of woman to give herself to him because he was a wealthy man? He asked the question, who art thou? What kind of character are you? To which her response were, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. That's a plant. I'm me. I'm not trying to be someone else. Boaz already sees Ruth as a young woman of good character and integrity, right? Because if you go back to chapter 2 and verse 11, Boaz answered and said unto Ruth, it hath fully been shown me. So he knew. He knew. It hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy mother and father in the land of nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not, hitherto. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto who? Thy handmaiden. Though I be not like one of your handmaidens. So what is she saying here? Right? Boaz recognized, it's been shown to him that Ruth is of a good character and good integrity. Okay? In fact, if you scroll down to verse 11 of our chapter here, he says that the whole city knows that she is a virtuous woman. So you see, when she first caught his eyes, remember, we talked about that last week, when he came to his servant and says, Dismal. Who's the Dismal? That's the word he used, right? He's like, who's that? When she caught his eye, it wasn't her physical attraction that attracted him, but it was her character that attracted him, because it had been shown to him what kind of character she were. So Ruth respond, I am thy handmaid, says, I am still that character. Lying here, feet, your cloak, that character, thy handmaid, the one who you identify and recognize that is of a good character, I'm still that person. That's her answer to, who art thou? I'm still Ruth. I'm still that person. That's her plan to present herself. She didn't need to be anybody else, because she had already attracted his attention, not by her physicality, but by her character. So all she needed to do was just be herself. I'm still that character. I am still of that integrity. This is not what it seems. Boaz said, so then, who are thou? And why are you here? She immediately announces her intention for being there. My intention is that you will marry me. That's her intention. That's her plan, right? That's the twofold plan. That's the second part of her plan. First part is to present herself as who she is. She didn't need to be anybody. She didn't need to operate outside of her character. She didn't need to do anything to attract this man. She had already gained his attention just by being a virtuous woman. And I'm telling you, right? Oh, my goodness. So many women go the extra mile to attract a man. They do so much stuff to themselves to attract a man, right? But what does Paul tell us in the first epistle of Timothy? Beauty is not in the earrings and the braiding of the hair or how you present yourself physically. It's in the heart, the character of the person. That's what you need. Listen, you don't need to be somebody else to attract a man. Be who you are. If who you are don't attract him, then he's not the one God has for you. Keep it moving, brother. Keep it moving. He's not the one for you. If a man will see you as you are, accept you as you are, fall in love with who you are, I'm telling you, then you know, versus it being lust. Because if he's attracted to physicality, then that's what it is. It's not love, it's lust. And Ruth knew that. And her plan was just be me. I don't need to be anybody else. I'm just going to be me. That's the first part of my plan. The second part of my plan is I need to announce my intention for being there. And my intention for being here is that you will marry me. Right up. Why? Because that's God's plans for us, for you, Boaz, and for me, Ruth. That's God's plan. You are the one God has placed in the position to keep the family line going. You are the one that God has called to redeem the family inheritance. My intention here is that you will step into that role for me by becoming my husband. There's all of that just by saying these words. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid. And this is where it gets a little dicey. Because some people take this as her offering herself to him sexually. But one of the ways in which you interpret hard to understand statement in the Word of God is to look in the entire Word of God, look into Scripture, and see that kind of statement used in other places and how it was used. So if we go to Ezekiel chapter 16, we find a similar statement there. And that will give us some understanding of what Ruth's statement means. In Ezekiel 16, the Lord is speaking to the nation of Israel. And he described the nation as a young, unwanted female that he took as his wife. I'm not going to go through the whole chapter, but you go back and read it, okay? Read from verses 1 through 14. But when you come to verses 8, listen to what the Lord said. Now, when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, that is when I was passing. You see, the past is in the past tense. He had already passed by them and looked is in the past tense. So he looked while he was passing, and he behold that it was time, that thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee. You hear that? The same statement. And covered thy nakedness. Yeah, I swear unto thee, and enter into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thy becomest mine. You hear that? That's how that same statement is used. So that's why I'm saying Ruth's plan is to present herself and announce her intention as Boaz, wanting Boaz to marry her. There in Ezekiel 16, when you read there, It's the covenant language of marriage, where God says, I spread my skirt over you and you became mine. It's not speaking of a sexual encounter. It's speaking of entering into a covenant of marriage. They became his. He married. I mean, when you go and read that chapter, right, where before it gets to the point where it turns ugly, you can't help but hear the language of marriage there. And that's what Ruth's intention is that he will marry her. He will marry her. That's her intention. So that's her plan. And that plan is in accord with God's plan. It's not, it's nothing sexual. Nothing immoral happened there. And you know, we used to say the word, get your mind out the gutter. Get your mind out the gutter. When some people come to this text, that's what they need to do. Get their mind out of the gutter, because there is more that's going on here than meets the eye. That's what I meant when I said, she said to him, it's not what it seems. My intention for being here is that I want you to be my husband because of the position that God has put thee in. Amen. And then she says, spread thy skirt over me. And she gives him the reason why she wants him to marry her. Why? For thou art near of kin. For thou art a near kinsman. Now, in other words, she's saying, you asked me the question who I was, and I told you. But I also know who you are. Thou art a near kinsman. I want you to marry me because you are the kinsman redeemer. And that's not because you are worthy. Not because you got money and all. That's not my motivation. That's not my intention. That's not why I'm here. But because the Lord has made you my redeemer, so come and redeem me. That's her plan. And that plan lines up with God's plan. Amen. Essentially, way before Ruth came into existence, all those things that God, all those provision that God has made by his servant Moses in the law, in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, those things that he said in his word, the Levirate marriage, the gleaning law, and all those things, God would have made provision for Ruth's future. All Ruth is doing is she is being led by a godly mother who knows God's plan, because her eyes has been opened. She's no longer in a closed-minded state of depression. Her mind is open. She has a plan that is in alignment with God's plan, and she tells her daughter that plan, and her daughter a plan according to that plan, and you see these people plans in alignment with God's plan, his ultimate plan, which is to bring about David. That David's offspring will come forth. Ah, you asked me who I am, and I told you. Oh, but much better than me knowing who I am, I know who you are. You are my redeemer. And so come and redeem me, redeemer. And so lastly, we see Boaz's plan and his plan accordingly. Let's continue reading verses 10 and following. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord. Right? You, Lord, thank you. Because here is a woman who is already blessed of the Lord. My daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. He's referring to the kindness that he's showing, that Ruth is showing her mother-in-law, Naomi, that goes beyond the kindness that we talked about, that we refer back to in chapter 2, where he says, it's been shown to me all that you've done for your mother-in-law. Ruth is now going beyond all that she did in Moab that she's in Judah, she's even going way beyond what she did. That's what he means. You have shown more kindness in the latter, at latter end, than at the beginning. Well, how? Inasmuch as thou hast not followed, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether rich or poor. You just showing yourself even more and more. You showing how godly you've become. When I said, blessed be the God of Israel, under whose wing you have come, your character is showing that you have truly come under the wings of God. And not only are you under his protection, but you're under his leadership. He's leading you down the path of his righteousness in order that he will bring forth his righteous plan. And guess what? You're showing that because you're young, I'm older. You're not running after me because I'm wealthy, nor did you run after a younger man, whether he was wealthy or not. In other words, did Naomi lay aside herself in order to see Ruth's need? But Ruth is laying aside herself in order to see the family. She's looking at the greater picture. And that is not just about her and her situation of wanting a husband, of wanting to be married, of coming to a place of security and a future of stability. It goes far beyond that for her. But that Christ will come forth. That Christ will come forth by David coming forth. That's her plan. And that's the ultimate plan of God. And that's what a man looks for in a woman. And when a man finds that in a woman, he finds a good thing, like the word said. And he plans accordingly. And he says, now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thy required. For all the city know, for all the city of my people doeth know that thou art a virtuous woman. If you need that evidence that nothing immoral happened in that place when she lied at his feet, here's your evidence. All the city know you are a virtuous woman. You're a woman of character and integrity. And my plan, Boaz's plan according to God's plan, is that he will marry her and become her kinsman redeemer according to God's plan. And now, it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until morning. And she lied down at his feet until morning. And she rose up before one could know another. And she said, let it be, let it not. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the flow. Let it not be known. See, it just showed the character of Boaz. It shows that he's a kinsman redeemer. It shows that he's a godly man. It shows that he's a righteous man. Who does that remind you of? Remember Mary and Joseph? Remember when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant and he knew that he wasn't the one who did it? And remember that Joseph decided that he was going to leave her, but he wasn't going to make a big show, he was going to do it privately. Remember that? Because he could have went before the community and said, look, she's an adulterer. To which end they would have stoned her. But the word of God says, because he was a righteous man and a loving man, he decided to part ways with her privately. Because he didn't want, that's the character of the people who are involved in the bringing forth of Jesus Christ into the world. That's the character of these people. And you see that same character here of Boaz. He's planning according to God's plan. Because God knows he has a man who is after his own heart. And he also said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured six measure of barley and laid it on her. And she went into their city. Amen. And so you see his plan. I'm going to do all that you desire a husband. Not only do you desire a husband, you desire a godly husband. Oh, yeah, it is true. I am your near of kin. Oh, I am that man. I am your redeemer. I'm going to step in my place. I'm going to step into my role, and I'm going to do my duty as your kinsman redeemer. I'm going to step into a place of redemption and redeem you from your situation, from your circumstance. Who does that sound like? Does that not sound like our ultimate redeemer, who is Jesus Christ? Did he not step into his role as our redeemer, as our kinsman? But before we got to that point, Boaz stepped into his role. See, his plan was in accord with God's plan for his life. Amen. And he planned accordingly. He planned accordingly. We really get to the unfolding of his plan when you come to chapter 4. So that's where we're going to close the study in that chapter, when you come to his plan, the unfolding of his plan. Verse 16, and when she came to her mother-in-law, Let's just quickly recap, right? We said what God planned. His ultimate plan is that David would be born. And out of the birth of David comes the offspring of Christ, his offspring, which is Christ. And so in this narrative of the book of Ruth, God's ultimate plan is to bring forth, it first to persevere his people and to show that he's merciful. He's gracious to give them hope, to give them a plan, to give them an expected end. That's God's purpose in the narrative of the book of Ruth. And God's plan does not become apparent to Ruth, to Naomi, until what? That turning point in her life where she took her mind off of herself and her situation and placed it on someone else. It was when he opened her eye, gave her hope, himself to be her help. It became a turning point for her, and she put her eyes on helping someone else. And she planned accordingly. You see Ruth doing the same thing. She planned accordingly to God's plan. Also, by taking her eyes off of herself and her needs and stepping into a role that was the betterment of the tribe. You see Boaz doing the same thing, planning according to God's plan by stepping into the role as a kinsman redeemer and doing the thing that God has purpose in his life to do. You stop and you wonder, isn't it amazing? Here you have a wealthy man a renowned man, a man of valor. Everybody in the city knows him. He's an older man. He's single. Is that a coincidence? No. It's the providence of God. It's God taking the situation in these people's lives. And by his providence, directing, controlling, in order to bring about his ultimate will and plan. And that is to bring forth Jesus Christ. And so we're going to close the chapter on this note. Sit still and know. Sit still and know. And this is what we have in verses 16 and 17. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, that is, Naomi, the mother-in-law, said to Ruth, "Who art thou?" You see the same question? Same question that Boaz asked. She asked her the same question. In other words, are you still a virtuous woman? Are you still of a good character? Are you still a woman of integrity? Or have you compromised who you are by trying to be someone else? Because I know I put you in a tight spot, but I taught you our ways. I taught you the ways of God. And because you learn the ways of God, mother's house, not in your mother's house in Moab, but here in mother's house in Judah, was able to communicate God's will to this man. So who are you? Who art thou, my daughter? Are you still that person? And she told her all that the man had done to her. All that he done to her. No, he didn't take her sexually because he knew that wasn't her intention. He knew that's not why she was there. So you can't interpret what she said when she said, "Spread your skirt over me," as a sexual advancement. But no, remember now, Naomi said to her, "He will tell you what to do." Okay? He will tell you what to do. And he did. He did. He told her what to do. In other words, he will tell you what his plan is. And he told her his plan. And she told her mother all that he had done to her. What did he do to her? Did he have sexual relations with her? No. What he did to her, and she said, "These 6 measures of barley give he me." That's what he did to her. "For he said to me, 'Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" Then she said, that is Naomi said to Ruth, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know it, until thou know how the matter will fall." And that's why I'm closing with, sit still and know. Sit still and know. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Listen, you've done all that God has directed you to do. You plan according to God's plan. Now all you have to do is sit still and know that he's working it out for your good. Sit still and know. Sit still and see the salvation of the Lord. Don't worry your heart. I'll tell you something. Now the responsibility is not on your Redeemer. And he's not going to rest. He's not going to rest until he has finished the thing this day. So all you got to do, baby girl, all you got to do, my daughter, is just sit still. And know. Amen. Sit still and know that God planned. First of all, sit still and know that God has a plan for your life. And sit still and know that he's working it out. He's working to bring that plan to fruition in your life. And I'm telling you, none of this happened until Naomi hit that turning point where she took her eyes off of herself and put her eyes on someone else. That's when God revealed. And when she says, sit still and know, she's trusting. That hope that she found back in chapter 2 and verse 19 or 20, she's exercising that hope now. Sit still and know. Be hopeful that he's working it out for your good. Amen. We're going to close there. Amen. Amen. If you got something out of the word tonight, I did. I think for me, it's the point that God rested upon my heart that was the turning point for Naomi. Take your eye off of yourself. So we're going to close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. God, I'm not an excellent speaker. I don't know a whole lot. Neither do I claim to know a whole lot. But God, just what you showed me as I looked into this third chapter, I did my best as humanly possible to explain it and show it and bring it out. Now I ask God that you would take what was said, what was studied, what was looked at. We know you've already planted your words in our heart. We know you already planted a seed in our heart. We pray, God, that you will water that seed, that you will be our husbandman. You will care for us by what was spoken here. Show us your will, God. Use what was said here to speak to our hearts. Whatever it is that you will have us know about you and your intention towards us, we pray, God, that whatever was said here tonight, whatever little bit was said, that you would take it and do just that. Have your way. We pray for everyone on the line. Just continue to be a blessing, God, that you already are. Continue to bless them, God, that every time they tune into Bible study, you will continue to pour your word, your wisdom, your understanding into their heart, into our heart, that we will become more and more of people like your son, Jesus Christ. We pray for Community Baptist Church. We pray for Pastor Wright. We pray for the ministers, Minister Williams, and their respective families. We pray for Pastor Wright family. God, we pray for the deacons. We pray for everyone who is in ministry at Community, God. We pray that you would just continue to have your way, continue to grow us in your wisdom, continue to lead us through the leadership of your servant, our pastor, Pastor Wright. Just continue, God, to teach us the word. Whether it's through the ministers or even through Deacon Wright when he's dealing with the men Bible studies on Saturday, whatever the case is, God, just continue to do the work you're doing in community. Those who teach in Sunday school or even morning Bible study, God, just continue to have your way that we may continue to grow in the knowledge of your son, Jesus Christ, not only what he's done for us, but how he done it, God, that we may grow closer in love with you. Because, God, as we said last week, you could have created us to be robots, just loving you, just by mere creation. But even though you're sovereign, even though you're a providential God, you still give us the will, a willful mind to choose you or reject you. And so, God, we choose you. We choose you. We choose your word. We choose your mind that you have toward us to give us peace, to give us an understanding, to give us an expected end. We choose your son, Jesus Christ. And we pray, God, that you continue to pour your word in us to bring us to that place where not for everybody on the line, but for those of us who can't see past ourselves to be a blessing to someone else, that you will bring us to that place where we can see past ourselves and be there as the instrument that you will use to bring about your will in the lives of people. Have your way. Go with us. We give your name the glory and the honor. You are worthy. You are worthy, God, of all the praise. We bless your name. And we come before your throne of grace in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. And for his sakes, we pray. Let the church say amen. Amen.